Okay, open your Bibles up to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. It says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. That's something that we need to really get a hold of, is that God gives us richly all things to enjoy. Now, let's slip over to Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Speak thus, saith the Lord, even the carcasses of men shall fall as dung upon the open field, and as a handful after the harvest man, and none shall gather them. Now there are three things that men seem to glory in. And back in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, it talks about men, the wise man, he glories in his wisdom. The mighty man glories in might. And the rich man glories in his riches. Now, go back to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 24. Oh, no. What am I doing here? No, Jeremiah chapter 9. I'm sorry. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 24. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 24. Okay. We'll go to verse, we'll talk verse 23 first. It says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth, glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. So men have a tendency to, you know, the wise man glories in his wisdom, the mighty man glories in his might, the rich man glories in his riches, but there are three things that men should glory in. Number one, that they understand and know God. Number two, that God exercises loving kindness, judgment and righteousness in earth, and that these things delight God instead of human wisdom, power, and riches. Knowing God is the basis of all blessings of life here and hereafter. It is the condition of trust in God, and one who is unknown cannot be trusted at all. You know, I had two personal accounts. One of them really directly personal. I actually was around the man. He was a millionaire. And the next day he was broke. He was working for a guy making less money than I was. And I said, what happened? And he said, you know, he was in the oil field. He was making big money, big things happening, and he got in some kind of a hassle with the IRS, and it was all gone. And then I had a lot of accounts. This I knew another guy that was going to go cash in all of his stocks and go buy a ranch. He had enough stocks. He's going to cash all these stocks in, go buy a ranch, and then we had an oil bust. You know, a bad one, where these oil companies will come to these service companies and they say, we'll give you 10 cents on the dollar of what we owe you. And you could take that or you could go broke. You know. Then, I actually read another account of a guy that was in the oil field that went broke. One guy, the first guy, he was destined for a life of just strife and hard work. So there was no way he was going to devise a way to get out of that mess. The other two guys had a different outlook. They both had a connection with God. One guy was just in the learning process, and he built his house in the storm, and he got out of that mess. And some of the things that God led him to do, he told me some of the stories. You know, he actually owed one bank a whole bunch of money. And he went in there and he told this bank, he said, I'll give you whatever, 25%, just to make this go away. That's what I can do. And the bank said, okay. So he walked across the street to another bank and borrowed enough to go pay that 25% off. And he got, but he paid his way out of complete horrible debt. The other guy, he went broke. Somebody said, what are you going to do? He said, hey, man, I'm going to enjoy life. He said, I got the key to all that money. I know how I got it. It was God. He said, he'll get it to me again. That's no problem. He wasn't worried about it at all. As a matter of fact, he sounded like he was taking it as kind of a personal challenge and adventure. You know, he did it once. He was going to do it again. He was just excited to see how God was going to do it. But they understood who God was. But here's the thing. You're not going to trust somebody that you don't know. You don't trust a stranger, do you? If a stranger came up to you and said, I need $500. And if you'll let me borrow that for 2 days, I'll come back and give you six. Would you give him $500? I would hope not. I would hope not. I would hope not. But now if somebody that you knew and trusted and knew them inside and out, if they came up and said, I need $500 and I will come back in 2 days and give you $600, he might actually go ahead and do that. But if you don't know somebody, you're not going to trust them. Jeremiah 31, I believe, verse 34. They shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Now look over to Isaiah chapter 54, verse 13. All my children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Now, one of the things that everybody must do is come to know God. You know, here's a big challenge for people. There's a lot of people that know about God, and a lot of people that know about Jesus, and I deal with these people all the time. And they go to church all the time. But they don't know Him. And I know they don't know Him because they don't trust Him. It's a heartbreaking thing. One of the most important things I heard at one point in time, and I've come to believe that this is the absolute truth, is that religion is the strongest narcotic known to mankind. There's people that put more faith in their denominational doctrine than they do God. There are people that will go to church every Sunday, every time the door swings open, but they will not open that Bible. They won't take a Bible with them to church. That's dangerous. It's to the point, I know some people that are absolutely dead set on the idea that because some preacher poured some water on their head, they're saved. They tell us that didn't do nothing but get your head wet. But they are sold on it. They're so absolutely convinced. There's some of them that will swear, they will fight you tooth and nail because they got baptized when they were babies. They're going to heaven. See how dangerous the doctrines of men is? But also in the same note, and I stumbled across it accidentally, is we've got our own personal responsibility to read the Bible. You know, it's not just a chore to do. It's not something, you know, what it is you're not going to know whether you're being told the truth or a lie if you don't read that Bible for yourself. I stumbled across it literally. I was walking up the ramp to my house, and it was the first time I heard God's voice. I was walking up that ramp, and I heard that voice said, "You better read that Bible, boy, or you're dead." And for some reason, I knew it wasn't God going to kill me, but it was life around me that was going to take me out if I didn't get a hold of the Word of God. And the most amazing thing to me is I went in there and I started reading the New Testament. And I just kept reading the New Testament, reading the New Testament, reading the New Testament. I just stayed in there and stayed in there and stayed in there. I wasn't going to church. Just reading the New Testament. And then one day he said, "Okay, go to church." Okay. So I go down to the Catholic Church. And they said, "No, you can't take communion with us." I said, "Okay, I'm not coming back." I had a check in my spirit. I knew that wasn't right. So then I go to another church. And I'm sitting there waiting for this guy to get into the Bible. He read two verses and they did a whole bunch of standing up and sitting down and singing and, you know, and announcements, and then everybody took off. I said, "Well, that's not right." So I went to another one, and that guy was closer. And then I stumbled across a Word of Faith church. And then I started growing, and things took off. But probably if I had not have read the Bible for myself, I would have just sat in there and believed the first thing that somebody said and said, "Okay, this is just the way it is." You know, there's whole churches, I suppose people could go to church for 30 years and not have a chance to get born again. You know, you've wasted 30 years of your life if you die and you didn't get born again. Now, look over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. That from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Literally mature. That word perfect literally means mature. But you know, this scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine for us to grow. It corrects us. You know how God corrects us? How he chastens us? With his word. You know, when I first started kind of getting going, I got born again and I didn't know nothing, but there's a popular thing where people will go, you know, they grab the Bible, they'll need a word from God, and they'll say, whatever I open up to you, that's going to be my word. So I'd open that Bible up and I'd read that verse that I come across. And I don't know how I did it, but somebody had told me, said, whenever you learn something about the Word of God, you're responsible for it. Okay. Out of all the things for me to remember, I didn't remember much, but I remember that. So I'd open up one of those verses, and it explained to me something that I was doing wrong, that I thought I was getting away with, but I was doing wrong. And after about five or six times of that, I said, I'm going to keep that thing closed, because every time I open that thing up, I find out how I'm blowing it. And I don't want to be responsible for that. I was by myself. There wasn't any Word of Faith preachers hanging around my town. And Crystal Lyons would send these tapes to me. I wouldn't open them up, but I wouldn't throw them away. So I just kept stashing them away. And then finally, when I decided I better do something, I started reading those. I started looking at them. And it changed me drastically. But here's the thing. I thought there was only two cowboy preachers in the whole world, Glenn Smith and Crystal Lyons. I didn't know there was any more. I was isolated, man. I was like a mushroom. And that's all I had, was those tapes and the Bible. So I just kept reading that and listening to those tapes, reading that, listening to those tapes. And then I figured out a neat trick. I'd go drop the name of some, I'd hear about a preacher, you know, like Kenneth Hagin came across from somewhere, heard about him. So I went and dropped his name in front of a few pastors, and they said, I'm latching onto that guy. And they said, yeah, you need to listen to this guy. This is the guy. And I said, if these guys are falling into that guy, I don't want nothing to do with them. But if they wanted to throw rocks at somebody, I figured out early on that was somebody I needed to listen to. You know, because the people that they wanted to throw rocks on were people like Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland and Benny Hinn. So I started studying those guys and Jesse Duplantis. And then things started changing. But what was happening was God was teaching me how to rightfully discern the Word of God. He's showing me how to divide that Word of truth, how to get it in order. And it was coming, but it took a little while. But the only reason that happened was because he got me to read the Bible. You know, there's some people that can't read, so they can listen to the Word of God. You know, and, you know, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. But if we have the ability to just sit down and read it, we should do that. Here's the thing. The Bible tells us that God, well, the Holy Spirit will bring all things to remembrance. But we have to put it in there first for Him to bring it to remembrance. So, He may wake you up and tell you about a verse in the Bible. Just go look that verse up. Because it would be a powerful answer. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 18. Remember, he said he was going to mature us to good works. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 18 says, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Literally willing, that word communicate literally means willing to share. You know, when I got started reading the Bible, I was broke. Man, I mean, sometimes $200 or $300 a week, that was a lot of money for me. But God started teaching me how to give this money away. And I'm thinking, whatever, I'm already broke. It ain't going to matter anyway. So, but I didn't know where to give it to. So what I do is the Methodist church was locked all the time. My hometown. But they had an elevator. You could get in the elevator outside. You could take the elevator up and you go right into the sanctuary. So I go in there and I lay my money on the altar. And I just leave it there. So I'd leave, you know, sometimes I was leaving a lot of money for me. And one day I looked at the giving chart. They always wrote, you know, they always had this habit of taking the chalkboard and writing how many people attended, how much money they give, and all this stuff. And I was looking at the chart one time that month, and I knew how much money I'd given. And I'd given half. And I thought, there's some pretty rich people in this place. Are they just giving pennies? They must have been. That little bit I had was half. They must have really been tight. But that place is broke now. They had to haul their sanctuary off. But I asked that pastor one time, I said, why don't you teach about tithing? He said, oh, it'll make people mad and they'll quit. Well, they're all gone now anyway, pretty much. You know, the gospel when you teach people the gospel, they'll want to stay in there and learn some more. They're going to be learning about freedom. But 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 18, says that they do good, that they be rich in good works. God wants us to be active in the kingdom of God. And there's a lot of things that we can do. There's a lot of good works that we can be involved in. And he said, whatever you shall ask for in my name, that will I do. So, you know, we can pray for people. We can help people. We can, you know, we can take food to people. There's lots of different things we can do to help people, and those are good works. But it's because he blessed us. Now look at James chapter 2, verse 14. The biggest thing is, he wants us to be ready to distribute. James chapter 2, verse 14 says, "What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit?" Literally, he said, yeah, pray for these people, but grab your wallet and make sure they got food, clothing, shelter. You know, you don't have to empty your wallet, but sometimes, you know, people don't realize how far $20 can go. Sometimes when somebody is on the streets, they could eat off of $20 for 3 days, maybe four. You know, one time somebody gave me $1,000, and that was such a life-changing event for me, because these tires I had on my pickup were so thin, I could see the air. I mean, they were bad. And people would walk by and they look at it and say, "Man, you are on borrowed time. You're one small sharp rock from walking." Well, I knew that, but there was nothing I could do about it. And then somebody gave me $1,000, and that changed everything. I got a whole new set of tires, and I was ready to roll. I was no longer holding my breath every block I went. But $1,000, you know, sometimes there's people spend $1,000 a day. I couldn't imagine that. But, you know, when you start running around doing business, you know, sometimes $1,000 is just, that's just one small load of material. But what he wants us to do is be ready to communicate with people around us. Be ready to help people in need. See, he's given us all these things to enjoy, and he wants to get more of it to us, but he's got to be able to get it through us. But we'll finish this next Wednesday. We'll get into the real nuts and bolts of this, on how to keep this system pure and how to keep it flowing. You know, there are some people that they're just so fantastic at it till it just blows my mind. You know, Wayne Myers, I don't know how many millions of dollars that guy's given away. And he lives in a little house. And they said their big thing, they had a refrigerator and they had a stove. And a bed. And that was about as far as their amenities went. Other than that, and actually, they finally had to stop putting cars in his name, because they'd put a car in his name, he'd give it away. And then he wouldn't have a way to get where he needed to go. But then somebody finally figured out, well, if we don't sign it over to him, he can't give it away. So he'd have a car to drive. That's a fanatic way of living. But there's something about that guy. He's 90-something years old and he's still preaching. And still probably giving away everything he gets. Well, thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We praise you for everything that you do for us. We thank you for teaching us the dynamics of the kingdom of God. And, Father, how to operate in this kingdom. Father, you truly have blessed us and you've given us all good things to enjoy. Father, teach us the joy of giving. Teach us the art of sharing. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.